My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. It's one of our most anticipated events of any election year. John's final calls, and this year, of course, we have a presidential race, critical Senate races, the balance of power in the Senate and the House, and all sorts of things. So, John, always great to have you with us.
Always great to be here, Greg. Thank you for that nice introduction, by the way, about the only thing a gentleman can do now is die.
Well, let's get to the predictions, and we'll see how well those survive. We, of course, know that the winner of the Electoral College has to get to 270, preferably for both campaigns, well above that. But as you survey the electoral map, what do you see come Tuesday night?
Mitt Romney will win with 321 electoral votes to 217 for Barack Obama. He will win by a margin above the 270 electoral votes by taking states such as Wisconsin, Iowa, and Pennsylvania, along with the much-contested Ohio. By the way, I was in Pennsylvania just this past weekend, and enthusiasm for the Romney-Ryan ticket is running high. In Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, one of the most Republican of counties in the Keystone State, party leaders say they feel that they can get 161,000 votes for the ticket, and if that is the case, that will be 14,000 above their previous record of turning out votes. Pretty impressive. But overall, I have to say that when you talk to people around the country, I at least sense a movement not unlike that with Ronald Reagan in 1980, where people say, well, he may not be perfect, I still don't know everything about him, but I don't want to give the other guy four more years after the previous 4 years.
So, John, do you have any of the swing states going to the president?
Well, I think Michigan will. Now, I mean, there's a lot of excitement among Republicans that they can carry it, particularly since unemployment in Michigan is above the national average. And certainly the president will carry the usual suspects, California,
sure,
Illinois, Minnesota, a state that lately has been contested. But overall, I think in the end there will be a swing to Mitt Romney, and he will win.
All right, John, let's go now to the Senate balance of power. Right now, if you factor in two independents caucusing with Democrats, it's a 53-47 Democratic majority. Democrats definitely playing defense for the most part, given their successes 6 years ago. What is the balance of power come November 7th?
Republicans, sadly, will lose the seat of Olympia Snow to independent Angus King, who will vote with Democrats to organize the Senate, and Scott Brown of Massachusetts, a national Republican hero for winning the seat of John and Ted Kennedy in a special election 2 years ago, will lose to Democrat Elizabeth Warren. That state's just too Democratic. On the other hand, Republicans will pick up fresh seats in my home state of Connecticut, in Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, Ohio, and Wisconsin, and to make it a seven, Pennsylvania, where Tom Smith, one-time forklift operator in a coal mine, now owner of the largest coal mining operation in Pennsylvania, put $16 million, putting his money where his proverbial mouth was, to challenge Senator Bob Casey, and he's got him on the run.
John, let's talk about a couple of those. First of all, Connecticut. I remember you picked Linda McMahon to defeat Dick Blumenthal 2 years ago. She's the nominee again and seems to be running closer to Congressman Chris Murphy, but it's a blue state that the president's likely to carry fairly comfortably. So why do you believe Linda McMahon will get over the top this time?
Well, for one thing, Connecticut no longer has the party lever, which always guaranteed coattails for the person at the top carrying the state. It is true it's a blue state. Barack Obama will win it resoundingly. But Linda McMahon ran a good race before. A lot of negative things were put out about her role as head of the World Wrestling Federation. Okay, she's back again. All those things are on the table. Dick Blumenthal was an institution as Attorney General of the Nutmeg State. For so many years, they called him the Eternal General. Chris Murphy's a two-term congressman who would not object to being described as to the left of Barack Obama. It's a different kind of race.
There are also two potential pickups for Republicans that I did not detect in your list. One is Virginia, where Republicans were hoping that George Allen would win his old seat back, And one, of course, is Missouri, that was seen as one of the greatest Republican pickup opportunities until Todd Akin's comments on rape and abortion. Sounds like you don't believe Republicans will be able to win those two.
Two reporter friends of mine were out in Missouri, spent time with the Akin campaign and with Congressman Akin himself. They found a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of vigor on the part of his grassroots supporters. He has the infantry, but he does not have the air cover in terms of television advertising funded by national Republican operations and super PACs. He will lose as Mitt Romney's carrying the state in a landslide. In Virginia, the problem is that while Mitt Romney should carry the Old Dominion, another contested state, it just won't be enough to pull in George Allen. Why? Not that Tim Kaine, the former governor, is such a great Democratic candidate. It's just that historically, when people lose one office after a period of years and come back, it's akin to fixing a tire with a used tire. Voters rarely go for it. It's been done before, but rarely in the case for the same office after this person's been defeated. If history's a guide, Tim Kaine will win.
John, we mentioned the race in Indiana in the previous conversation, but there have obviously been some changes there, as Richard Murdoch took flack for comments in a debate on rape and abortion that most people, of course, would agree that are nowhere near what Todd Akin said, but there still seems to be a little bit of a downward tick from Murdoch. Do you think it'll cost him the race?
No, I don't. Indiana is solid Republican with a well-lubricated Republican organization. And I have not seen a single Republican, either in the Hoosier state or nationwide, abandon the nominee for the Senate, who, incidentally, I've known for more than 20 years and have rarely found him addressing social issues. His background as state treasurer is in economic issues and fiscal management. My guess is it'll be close, but state treasurer Murdoch will scrape over the finish line.
And finally, the House of Representatives. John, of course, Republicans took the majority in 2010. Their majority is somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 seats. There's been a few resignations, so I'm not exactly sure what the balance is at the moment, but it's somewhere in that neighborhood. Democrats claim they're in contention to take it back. The Republicans say they're in position to actually expand their majority. What's the breakdown?
Republicans gained in the redistricting process in more states than Democrats did. And I include in that your state of Michigan, the state of Ohio, Pennsylvania, Indiana, Georgia, among others. Democrats did gain in California, Illinois, and Maryland. All told, Republicans had a much better time in the redistricting process. And among the 35 seats that Democrats gave up, at least half of those are competitive. In the 27 open seats that were held by a Republican, virtually all are likely to remain in Republican hands. In the end, it comes out to a net gain of 10, 11 if you count Republicans picking up the vacant seat resigned from by Congressman Thad McCotter of Michigan. So I say gain of 11, and as Bill Clinton would say, do the arithmetic.
So John is predicting a very good night on election night for Republicans. We'll find out in just a few days whether that is accurate, and we'll dissect the results the next time we're together. John, thanks so much for being with us.
Looking forward to dissecting the results with you after the fact, I think. I'm John Gizzi.
John Gizzi is political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.